поехал коней на поезд, думал деревню гурьбою делить. Эх, трай-ля-ля, трай-ля-ля, вздумал деревню гурьбою делить. А старая старуха сметлива была, дочку Маруську с собою вела. Эх, трай-ля-ля, трай-ля-ля, дочку Маруську с собою вела. А старый старик свое дело смекнул, старую старуху он локтем толкнул. Эх, трай-ля-ля, трай-ля-ля, старую старуху он локтем толкнул. Эх, что ж тебе надо, старая корга, пусть погуляете, дочка моя. Эх, трай-ля-ля, трай-ля-ля, погуляете, дочка моя. А в той-то деревне погасли огни, старые малые спать полегли. Эх, трай-ля-ля, трай-ля-ля, старые малые спать полегли.
There's been a lot of hype about Tartary lately, and what some are claiming is an effort to hide a significant chapter of human history. Up until the late 18th century, the great empire of Tartaria was a vast country located in northern and central Asia, stretching eastward from the Caspian Sea and from the Ural Mountains to the Pacific Ocean. It appears on ancient maps, had worldwide influence, and once was ruled by an Aryan nobility. Here we see a modern interpretation of Genghis Khan, yet in reality, Genghis Khan had red hair and either green or blue eyes. The same way that the tall, slender, blue-eyed, blonde-haired Aryan Buddha has been transformed in modern times into a fat, or sometimes rather obese, East Asian man. Painted on the walls of ancient Buddhist caves, we can see the true origins of the ancient cultures of China, Iran, India, where blonde and red-headed monks wear Chinese silk with Persian patterns, complete with a dot on their forehead.
I see the red beard and red hair. It's a shame that these figures have all been defaced by people of other faiths at some time in the past. But it's very easy to see what they looked like, and we can tell who they were. He's got the red beard, red hair parted in the middle.
These Silk Road Aryans left mummies dating back 4,000 years, as well as swastikas, predating Buddha by millennia, and predating any East Asians in China by at least 1,000 years. While some associate the swastika with Hitler, I would like to point out that this Russian swastika from before Hitler's time, before World War II, shows the swastika in the exact same position. That said, this is a United States Boeing aircraft with a swastika painted on the side. It seems to me that the evil connotation was not from Hitler, but from the winners of World War II, who seem to have something to hide.
Молодушки, попляшите, на меня благо не глядите. Ох, эле, ох, эля, ой, да люли, люли.
Did you know that Genghis Khan actually came from the clan of the so-called Black Tartars? Let's go back and try to figure out where the people who became the Tartars came from. This is the Great Steppe around 300 BC. For the Tartars, the steppe is as much of a civilizational cradle as the Mediterranean Sea is for Europeans. But if the Mediterranean Sea makes you think of olives, vineyards, and ships, then the Great Steppe should provoke visions of horses, pastures, and yurts. The Chinese divided the Tartars into three types: white Tartars, farmers living immediately beyond the Great Wall of China; black Tartars, nomads living in present-day Mongolia; and wild Tartars living without Khans in the forests of South Siberia, governed by chiefs and shamans. These are the ancestral lands of Genghis Khan. Genghis Khan came from the Black Tartars. He called his dynasty the Mongols or the Great Moguls. They lacked the stereotypical ethnic features that you think of today. Genghis Khan himself was tall, red-haired, and blue-eyed, a typical European. In 25 years, Genghis Khan and 100,000 soldiers conquered more lands and peoples than all the Roman emperors in 400 years.
There was a race of people known as Tartarians, which many historians know little about. Some speculate that they were once a great and sophisticated empire. Old maps clearly identify Tartary, or Great Tartary, as a huge landmass. Its people were described as Turkic, an ethno-linguistic culture found throughout Asia, North Africa, and parts of Europe. Tartary had its own flag, their own kings, and their own language. Maybe these Tartarians were related to the original three-dimensional Aryans who appeared during the Age of Aries, descendants of some of those who survived the cataclysm which wiped out Atlantis. This is interesting because in Herodotus' histories he talks about a people called Atarantians. Could he be referring to the Tartarians, possibly descendants of the Atlanteans? The Internet Encyclopedia, encyclopedia.com, states that after the Bolshevik Revolution, Tartars were targeted for extermination. In the 1920s, most Tartar leaders and intellectuals who wanted independence were eliminated through execution or exile. This policy against the Tartars continued to some extent until the early 1950s. It is important to point out, as the victors write the history books, they occasionally try to eliminate important aspects which they see as counterproductive to their own importance. In 1999, a CIA document was released into the public domain written in 1957, suggesting that the Soviet government set out to erase certain aspects of Tartarian history from the official record, essentially rewriting history to suit their agenda and modern narrative. When considering that the Bolshevik Revolution was partly financed by the international financial cartel, it opens up a whole avenue of historical deceit. After the German National Socialists came to power in 1933, a strong relationship developed between themselves and the Iranian Shah. A great deal of trade took place between the two countries, with almost 50% of Iranians' overall trade being with Germany. The Iranian people were immune to the German racial Nuremberg laws because of their Aryan heritage. In 1935, the Shah asked the international community to refer to the country as Iran, land of Aryans, instead of its Western adopted name of Persia. In 1939, Germany gave the Iranians a library of over 7,500 books relating to German science and the close relationship between the two Aryan cultures. Because of these close ties and volume of trade taking place between Iran and Germany, the Allies put pressure on the Shah to scale down his dealings with the Axis powers. Trying to keep all sides happy, the Shah promoted his country as neutral. Unconvinced of this, the Allies invaded on the 25th of August 1941 in a joint Anglo-Soviet attack on Iran. 3 weeks later, the Shah and any pro-German government officials were asked to resign. The Shah's son replaced him as head of state, allowing the Allies control of the country's oil fields. Between the 28th of November and the 1st of December 1943, the Tehran Conference took place, the first time the big three Allied leaders had met together during the war, to discuss future strategy concerning a second front against Germany, and also the need to recognize Iran as an independent country. Of all the places in the world to hold a conference discussing the defeat of the German Nordic Aryans, one can't help but feel that Tehran, in the heart of the land of Aryan, was not just a random coincidence. Although the United Nations debate on the race issue and its origins was settled in 1950, concluding we are all from the same species, and as Europe and Western sovereign nations undergo the controlled demolition of its individual sovereign nations, one can't help but speculate as to who will next be eliminated from the history books.
Карлику,
карлику,
co tam ведеш по руку? Карлику,
карлику,
co по руку ведеш? Веду панінок по паже, хе, по паже, хоче то вам покаже, хе, хе, покаже.
My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. You can find my published work on Amazon. Thank you for leaving a review. Thank you for leaving a comment below and for sharing this video. Please don't forget to subscribe and hit the notification bell. I will see you again soon.